Okay, today is the 10th of October, in fact, 2013. And we are about to begin the mitzvah of what's called Kiddush Bechayres, which is the sanctification, the special mitzvahs relating to the firstborn, as we shall soon see. Can you say that 10 times quickly? Shall soon see that this applies not just to people, it applies to certain animals and even to one of the non-kosher animals. Okay, so the mitzvah in the Torah is the following. It's in Shemos, Parashas Bo, it says like this, V'haya ki yishalcha bincha machar lemar. If your child will ask you tomorrow, saying, Rashi says machar doesn't mean necessarily the next day, telling the people of the Jewish people of the tribe, means sometime in the future. If he'll ask Mazos, what is this? V'amarta elav, you'll say to him, Bechezek yod hatzionu Hashem mitzrayim beis havod. With a very strong hand, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Now, that's very crucial, very important to understand, as we shall soon see. When Paro remained stubborn and he refused to send us out, Hashem killed out all the firstborns of Mitzrayim, and Bechor Adam by Bechor Behema, firstborns of the people, firstborns of the animals. Al kein ani zaveach Hashem, therefore I bring forth as a korban to Hashem, kol pet erechem azachar, v'chol bechor bonai efte. I will bring up as a zevach, as a korban, to be slaughtered all the firstborn males of certain animals, we'll soon see, and my own children efte I will redeem. Okay, so here we have it very clearly. It so happens to be that Rashi and Chumash on the pasuk B'ni B'chayri Yisrael, the Rabbi Shem actually refers to the Jewish people as my firstborn. Do you know what that means? My firstborn? What does that mean, the firstborn? Were we actually the firstborn? We were not the firstborn. What does it mean? We're spoiled like the firstborn. What does it mean? I can only say that because I'm not firstborn. What does it mean, we're the firstborn of Klal Yisrael? So Rashi says it means a lashon gedula, a lashon of greatness. But I like to say over a most beautiful Meshech Chachma. I should have printed it here on the sheet. Maybe I'll include it on the next page. I wasn't planning on saying it today, but I think it's an opportune time. The Meshech Chachma says like this. If you look at a Bechor is an interesting character. When a Bechor is born, he has the ability to take someone who is a married man, but still his status is still that of a man. And he transforms his life forever. Just by being born, he transforms the life of his father and of his mother from a regular man to a father. And his mother becomes a woman, she's now transformed into a mother. It's a new status. She's not just a woman, she is now a mother. A new dimension to their family, a new dimension to their life. They're new, they're different. And in fact, if he's the first grandchild, he has the ability to change a father person into a grandfather, and a mother into a grandmother. Not necessarily that every child that's born, firstborn that's born, is actually doing that, but theoretically can do that. That's the what the Bechor can do. You know what Hashem was saying when he said, B'nei Bechayri Yisrael, that you, Yisrael, you are my firstborn? You know what he was saying? He was giving us a challenge, a little more than a challenge. You, as the Bechor, as my Bechor, have the ability to make me from a regular entity in this world into a father. Wow. How so? By teaching people, as Avraham Avinu did, as the others did, as Jews for time immemorial, the light unto the nations. We're here in this world to teach people that the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. And that being the case, as was mentioned before, one of the rabbis spoke at the July 4th, what did he speak about? He spoke about faith. Yeah, why? That's the idea. We're here to show people. This is what Avraham Avinu did an entire day. He taught people this idea that, hey, look around. Observe. Nothing here could have happened on its own. And he taught people to see the Ribbono Shel Olam, just to discover the Ribbono Shel Olam, just as he did himself. He observed, and with intellectual honesty, he came to the conclusion that it was impossible to have a bira without a bal habira, to have a palace without, or a city without, someone who owns it, who designed it. Yes? And so, that's our job. So when Hashem says, B'ni b'chayr Yisrael, it's not just saying, like Rashi says, a lashon of chashivas, that we're important, and Hashem treats us with great importance, but it's actually a responsibility. Right? Same as with the chosen nation. People take umbrage. Other nations take umbrage. The truth is, the main idea of the chosen nation is a responsibility. And 99.999% of them don't want the prestige that comes along with the responsibility if it's a package deal. Right? You may have some extra prestige, it's true. Just like any politician or any leader may have fame, and sadly, more often than not, that's what their main intention is in pursuit of that office. But the fact is, it comes with tremendous responsibility as well. And those that are honest, and those that are, I don't know if you could say honest about politicians, is that the same? No? You could say it in the same sentence? Honest politician. That's
another honest thing.
Yeah. Those that are altruistic, if there are any politicians that are altruistic, and there are plenty of Divrei Chazal that teach us how, unfortunately, almost all of them are corrupt. But in any case, as I like to say, it's a sad situation where the political system is such, maybe it's designed that way, I don't know. You have to be cruel and mean and corrupt in order to be elected. It's just the only way to do it. You have to, stab people in the back and step on people, and right? That's the sad reality of the system here in this country and almost every country, maybe all. In any case, the responsibility that the Jewish people have to show, what is it? To teach people that we have a Father in heaven. When you do that, you're actually making Hashem, you're transforming Hashem from a from the creator of the world to a father figure of people in the world. And that's a responsibility. And together with it comes the other idea that Rashi's talking about, which is chashivas. But we'll see that this is very much related to this mitzvah, the idea of this mitzvah. This mitzvah teaches us in a great way, not just as the Pasuk says, because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, etc., Al Kain. I mean, that's the simple explanation. The simple explanation of the mitzvah is open in the Pasuk. Because of this great miracle that Hashem did for us with killing the Bechayim and Mitzrayim, Bechar Adam, Bechar Behema, people and animals, because of that, we do this mitzvah, but in addition, it is a lesson to us that we are to act as the Bechar of the world, the one to show others that we have a Father in heaven, to teach others about it, and to bring them closer to Him, and to bring them to the recognition that they have someone up there watching over them. Okay, so let's see the Sefer HaChinuch, as we always do. First, he gives a little explanation. I quote him, giving a little explanation of what the mitzvah is, more of the details of the mitzvah, and then the reason behind the mitzvah. And so he says like this, L'kadesh HaBechoros, this mitzvah Yud Ches, to sanctify the Bechoros, the firstborns, Kolaymar, Shiyu kol ha-vladais ha-neldim b'rishayna, all the children born, firstborn, Kolaymar yaitzei rishayn me'rechem ha-nakeva, those that are firstborn from the female, not the firstborn of the male, Yes? Bein ba'adam bein ba'ema, whether it be humans or animals, hazacharim kodesh l'Hashem. If they're male, they are kodesh l'Hashem. Sanctified to Hashem. Shenemar, kadesh li ko b'char petar ko rechem b'nei Yisrael, ba'adam uba behema lihu. Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sanctify them. For me, lihu, they are to me. V'davka behema, and specifically a domesticated animal. Tahainu shor, kesev, aiz. A kosher domesticated animal. Avalochaya, but not a wild animal. Umikol behema tmeya, but of all the non-kosher animals, there was one that was chosen. Hamor levat. Only a donkey. We'll get to that later when this mitzvah is which is an independent mitzvah but on its own. The chamor, right? Here we're talking about the animals. That, we'll see, is a mitzvah in its own right, the chamor, the donkey. The inyan ha-mitzvah, and the idea behind the mitzvah, the behemoth tahira came, she-mitzvah al ha-bailim la-hagdishe. The mitzvah is by the kosher animals, lahagdishai, to sanctify it, v'loimer harezei kodesh. So when it says kadesh li, it says you should sanctify it, means just like by kiddush, we have a proclamation we make, right? So here too, yes, he should say harezei kodesh. This is holy. V'chayavim, right, by the way, what does the word holy mean?
Separate.
Separated, yeah? Separated to Hashem. In fact, the word kodesh, kadesha, is actually used in the Torah when things are separated to a non-holy entity as well. So it's not necessarily a reflection of holiness per se. It means separated. Isn't it? V'chayavim laseis aisei b'char l'kohanim. What do you do with that animal? You give it to the kohanim. Yikruvu chelboi v'dome el mezbeach. They shall offer up the certain fats and its blood on the mezbeach, sprinkle the blood. V'hem oichlam ha'basar b'yushalayim. And they eat the meat in Yerushalayim. So that's the kosher animals, and that's why it says in the pasuk, "Al kenani zayveach." Therefore, I shecht it. I bring it up as a zevach. Yeah, zevachim, right?
Right.
Okay. Then the chinuch says, "Ubechar adam ubeter chamor." The separate mitzvahs of bechar adam, the bechar of a human, and the redemption of the chamor. Of the non-kosher animal, obviously the donkey can't be brought up as a sacrifice on the mizbeach. That we will discuss the mitzvah hafidiyah by when it comes up later, the redemption mitzvah. Shebechol echad bezes Hashem, each one has its own. One is in this parsha, mitzvah chav beis, and one is in, say, parsha's kairach, mitzvah shin tzadi beis. We'll get to that. As Hashem, shin tzadi beis may take a little bit of time, as we shall see, not necessarily so soon. Okay, now, so that, those are the details of the mitzvah, but what are the shirashim mitzvah, one of the reasons behind the mitzvah? Shiratza Hashem lezakaisenu lasais mitzvah bereshis perein. Hashem wants us to be able to do a mitzvah with the first of our fruits. You find this also, by the way, the word bikurim, first fruits, also like the word bechor, right?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Why is it that Hashem wants us to do a mitzvah with the first of our fruits? Leman das, in order to know ki hakol shalai, that essentially everything really belongs to Him. Ve'ein lo la'adam davar ba'olam, and there is nothing to a person in this world, rak ma sheyacholek lo Hashem yizbara v'chazda. Only that which the Rebbe Shalom himself distributes to him. In other words, we need a constant reminder that really what is ours is not really ours. It's only by the compassion of the Rebbe Shalom that we have what we have. The Yavin Zeh, and he'll understand this and recognize it, b'ra'isai, when he sees, listen to this carefully, ki achar sheyageya ha'adam kama yageyes, in order to when you're a farmer, in order to produce children, the animals should have babies to reproduce, it takes a lot of yigia, it takes a lot of toil. The tireach, kamet drachim, and he He's very, he exerts himself a lot. Vayilome in his world. V'yigia lezman sha'a sapri. And he finally comes to the point where he has some sort of fruit of his labor, literally and figuratively. V'chaviv olav reishis piryei. And it's actually dear to a person, his first fruits. Kivavas einai, like the apple of his eye. Why is that? Why is it so dear to a person? The person opens up a business. The first order he gets, schmack, we're in business. Yeah. Person has he works on a job for a while. He writes a book. He prints the book. Feels good about it. By the way, these days you don't have to feel so good about yourself when you write a book, because I just saw it today. You can actually print one book. In the old days, you know, they have something called print on demand. You familiar with this?
No.
No.
So if you ever have like pages of notes on a computer or something like that, you can actually save it as a document and load it up onto a website. And I just checked today, like 400 pages. I'm going to print a 400 page book with a color cover, $10.44 plus shipping.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. The old days, if you want to print something, it was not worthwhile to print something unless you printed 500, 1,000 copies, whatever it is. And then if it was just something that only you were interested in, you went, okay. I just saw that today. If anybody has any like notes from Shurim, from whatever,
yeah.
It's a wonderful thing to do. What's that?
Print on demand.
Print on demand, it's called, yeah. Well, okay, this is not a paid advertisement. But if a person prepares a document, not a document, a sefer, he prepares a book, whatever it is, and now he's the fruit of his labor, he prints it, and when he sees the first one, it's a big simcha. Especially if it's first sefer in general, first book in general, whatever it is that a person does, first child, it's a tremendous simcha. And so, a person, that's what the Chinuch is saying, that's specifically the first fruit, is something that's very dear to a person. I notice that when you go into businesses sometimes,
right.
on the wall, they have the dollars.
First dollar, yeah.
Are those the first, is that what it is? The first dollar that they make, they put it up there.
Yeah.
Why? It's dear to a person. That's the Bechar, by the way. And what does it say on the dollar bill?
In God we trust,
yes. Okay. You know that sign it said in the business thing? In God we trust, everybody else pays cash.
Right? And now okay. People are fighting to have that removed.
Really? Oh, are they, what, in God we trust?
Yeah. In God we trust, yeah.
Very trust in God.
Very contentious.
Well, they all have a God. The question only is what their God is, right?
Separation of church and state issue. Money's issued by the government. Keep God out of your
mind. Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying that everybody has a God. It's only a question of what you're. Some people, their God is themselves, you know.
Right.
So they trust in their God. Everybody has a God, yeah. In any case, so says the Chinuch, being that specifically a person exerts himself, he toils tremendously, and he finally sees the fruit of his labor, and that first fruit is especially dear to him. And what does he do? Miyad nois neilach kodesh baruch. This I want to give. The thing that's most dear, that I want to give to the Rebbe Hashem. He empties out his reshus, and he brings it to the domain of his Creator. You hear that? So this is not exactly what we were saying before. What we were saying before is what we said in the Pasuk, which is what he mentions now. In addition, this simple meaning behind the mitzvah is Lizkar Anes HaGadol, to remember the great Nes, Sha'asolano Hashem Yisbarach. But what he's saying here is that there's an added benefit, maybe even one of the primary benefits, is that a person takes what's the most dear to them and he actually offers that to Rebbe Shalom as a reminder that everything that he has, in truth, really comes from the Rebbe Shalom. So, person has the tendency, unfortunately, to forget. And as the Pasuk says in Sefer Devarim, that a person has the tendency to say, Koichi v'oitzem yodi aso lias achayel azeh. Chayel is this great war, this great effort. His great effort is Koichi v'oitzem yodi, my own strength. That's the tendency of a human being. And interestingly, the Targum on that pasuk, you know what he says? When the Torah says, you know, you have a tendency, you human beings have a tendency to say that all the great effort is all from yourself, but it's not really from you. You have to know it's from me. What Hashem says, yeah? You know what the Targum says? You know what kind of great effort it's referring to of all things? I would think it's a general term, you know, referring to any sort of accomplishment should be, right? Which is, in a sense, true. But he translates it as, really, where does it come from? From the Rabbeinu Shalom, the effort came from. Hu yoyev li eitza lemikni nichsin. He was the one who gave me the idea to buy this merchandise. I think what the Targum is saying is that the greatest threat of all is in business. When a person's in business, they really have a threat. Oh, I had the great idea of buying this merchandise, and I ended up bought it for. Oh, and I saw it. I knew right away that was going to be a good deal, and I went and I sold it to the other guy. So especially in business, people have a tendency to believe. They become wealthy. You look back and you say, come on. Even Reichman, in my day, he was the symbol of, you know, you think you're Reichman or something. Every generation, every area has their, I'm Canadian, so somebody, you think you're Rothschild, in olden days, you think you're Rothschild, you know, right? Maybe you hear that expression?
Yes.
Rothschild or something? So in my day, Reichman was the paradigm of wealth, and the Paul family did and continues to do tremendous things with their money. But he once said, one of the Reichman, I think it was Moshe Reichman, he said, I think his English name is Barry, he said, success in business is 95% mazel and 5% effort. Which even that is not necessarily true. The 5% maybe, yeah. It says, but don't you think that I wouldn't trade in for a second the 5% mazel, the last 5% for more mazel, right? In other words, he recognized that as much as you put in effort and you think you have great ideas and you're creative and your bottom line is it's coming for the Rabbeinu Shlomo. He gives you the idea exactly what the unklus was saying.
But look at Yosef. Yosef, when he goes before Pharaoh.
Excellent. Bill Adai. Excellent. Excellent. Oh, Yosef right away has a recognition as a Rabbeinu Shlomo. So that's exactly what the chinuch is saying. The mitzvah of Bechor, or any of these sorts of Bechor, is the first, is more dear to us, and it's an acute reminder. Don't think that anything you accomplish, anything you have, is because of you, but rather it's from the Rabbeinu Shlomo himself. And it's a beautiful idea. In addition, of course, we cannot forget what the Torah says openly, which is because the Rabbeinu Shalom did this great nes for us. Okay, so let's move on to the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says, Kadesh li kol b'char. As the Pasuk says, Ki li kol b'char b'yayim ha-kaisi kol b'char b'ar t'shayim. Hashem says, so to speak, I sort of acquired. Really, the truth is Lashem Ha'aretz Malaya. Everything in the world is the Rabbeinu Shalom's. But in a greater way, Hashem says, I sort of developed greater ownership over the firstborns by way of killing out the Becherim and Mitzrayim. The Achar Sheyotza HaGzera Al Kol Becher B'Mitzrayim. But on the Behema, the Gzera was then. That all firstborns in Mitzrayim should die, whether the men and the people or the animals. V'loy mesu b'chayr Yisrael, and the b'chayr Yisrael were saved. So heim chayovim livdeis napsham, so they have to redeem their souls. L'aseis kaparam l'chvayd Hashem shepodam, in honor of Hashem that redeemed them. So basically he's saying that, while he's stressing what the Torah says, which is there was a gzera on everybody. On all firstborns. And that which Hashem, we see this from the Dom Pesach, that, right? Passover. It's pretty, right? We needed to have that mitzvah, those mitzvahs, we needed to have the schus, we needed to have that reminder. It wasn't simple that we were left out. Yes? The Malach came, and as Rashi tells us, and we say this in the Haggadah, that Kiman Shenitin Rishus Lamashtis, once there's a Rishus, once there's permission to the destructive angel to kill out, he can kill out the tzaddik even with a rasha. Which probably means, I don't know this for sure, but it probably means, it doesn't mean an absolute tzaddik that totally doesn't deserve it. It means a tzaddik, somebody who, under other circumstances, if it wasn't the time of great din, he would probably be spared with extra compassion from Hashem. But at a time of great din, that extra... In other words, he really deserves to die if he was judged strictly with judgment. But under normal circumstances, Hashem is kind enough to give him extra compassion. In a time of din, where that's absent, the default is going to happen to him. That's my hunch for years already of what that actually means. What does it mean? He's going to kill out a tzaddik in Russia. If a guy doesn't deserve it, why would he die? The answer is, at the core, he really deserves to die. Under normal circumstances, Hashem would give him the clemency, right? The compassion. But since it's the time of din, he's not going to have that. He's not going to have that. but what we're saying here is, Ibn Ezra, we have to be aware of this, that the gzeira was on everything. And Hashem deliberately went out and saved us. Which means to say that, we know this from the Medrash, the Jewish people in a certain sense were no better than the Egyptians in some ways. We're both Avdei Avodah Zarah, and both in a certain sense deserve punishment. But Hashem gave us these two mitzvahs, and in the schus of our forefathers, and the schus of our fulfillment of these two mitzvahs, He saved us. Hashem is saying, you know, theoretically, you were part of that decree. And Mitzvah Hashem next week, today's Thursday, right?
Yes.
Mitzvah Hashem next week will be a little more specific about how it was, what part of this was actually the Jewish people being, let me tell you now, go a little over time. There is a beautiful part that they say over, it's probably from several different people, or Akiva Eger, some say from Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. They say like this. We have a contradiction. On one hand, it says, and we say this in the Haggadah, Anivalei Malach, Anivalei Sarach. Hashem went out. Me, I killed out the Becharim. I killed out the Becharim. Not a Malach, just me. And yet, like Rashi quotes, the Chazal, Hashem says, you know why you were saved? Because once the Mashkis comes, once the destructive angel comes to kill out the Malach HaMavis comes, so he kills the Tzaddik in Marasha. So you should have been included there too. And I saved you because of the Dan Pesach. Oh, I saved you, so now you owe your life to me. Okay, the firstborns now forever are going to be mine. As if I acquired them to a greater degree than anything else. The question is, make up your mind, was it Hashem? Or was it the Malach? And not only that, when Hashem did it, he says, Ani v'loy malach. It was not a malach, it was me. So, I believe I heard this in the name of Rabbi Akiva Eger. So he said like this. He said, the truth is that the Bechar that we're talking about here in this mitzvah is a Bechar from the mother. And one can ask, why is the mitzvah only the Bechar from the mother? In truth, in Mitzrayim, if you look there, ein bayis asher ein shameis. There was no house. Rashi says every single house, the oldest or what. So there, even the people that were the bechar from the father died. So why is the mitzvah only by the bechar from the mother? So listen to what he says. This is brilliant. He says like this: the bechar from a father, no human and no malach could know. It's impossible to know when it's a firstborn of a father or a malach. Especially the Mitzrayim, as Rashi tells us, were promiscuous. And even last week's parsha, we have all the different nations that are there. Rashi says that it was just Father's Day. It was very confusing. It was a very confusing day in ancient times and in Mitzrayim.
In Mitzrayim, in some households, you could have had
right,
10 sons.
Right, exactly what Rashi's saying. It could have been multiple.
Yeah.
But because one woman could have had the firstborns of five different men.
Right.
So, but essentially, for to know who the firstborn of a father is not possible unless DNA. I don't think it existed, the DNA test in those days. But it's not humanly possible, just, you know, certainly then and even now, without any tests, you know, scientific tests, whatever. But a bechor from the mother is certainly possible, because you theoretically could stand next to the mother, right? 24 hours a day for many, many years, and when she gives birth to a baby, you know this is her first baby, right? So when Hashem went out to kill the firstborn, it says, Ani v'lo malach, Hashem himself had to do that because there were firstborns there that even the malach wouldn't have known that they were firstborns. So Hashem says, I was so careful to kill out the firstborns that I myself went so that I should be able to kill out even those that the malach wouldn't be able to know or really deserve to be died. So I went, Ani v'lo malach. There were certain bechayrim, there were certain firstborns there that I had to kill myself. Not the angel. In addition, the firstborns from the mother, which that anybody could have discerned, that I was able to send the malach, and the malach was able to kill out. So they were both true. Hashem went for one specific type of bechor, for the bechor from the father, and the malach went for the bechor from the mother. So now both verses are true. Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo sarf, I went myself, it's true. He went himself for a certain type of bechor. And then the malach went and killed the other type of bechor.
The malach doesn't have bechira, I mean, how...
Bechira, what is Bechira?
Wait, but he's going to do Hashem's will. I mean, Hashem's going to point him what to do. He's not.
But he doesn't know, he can't sense which one is the right Bechir. But it's not a question of free will. Hashem is saying, go kill out the Bechir from the father. He is supposed to know. So, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, unbelievable. He says, you know why the mitzvah today? Here we're saying. As he says. The Gzeira, like the Ibn Ezra says, the Gzeira was on all Bechayrim, right? Even the Jewish ones. Which Bechayrim of the Jews were saved by Hashem? The Bechar from the mother, that even the Malach would have known, right? Sorry. The Bechar from the father, the Malach wouldn't have known to kill them anyway. You following? Which firstborns of the Jews were actually saved in this Makkah? The Bechor from the father? The Malach would never have killed, he was never under threat from the Malach. Because the Malach wouldn't have known that he was the firstborn. It would have been only Hashem. Hashem didn't need to save him, it was never a threat. Right? So the only one that was under threat of being killed by the Malach was who? The Bechor from the mother. Because that anybody could tell, even a malach. So, and once the malach goes out, he kills the tzaddik and the rasha, right? So Hashem had to give us the mitzvah of Pesach and the mitzvah of Milah to save us from what? To save who? To save the bechor from the mothers. Because that the malach would have known to kill. But the bechor from the father didn't need extra protection. It was Hashem himself. He didn't have any problem. It's only a problem when the mashkes goes out. When the destructive angel goes out, then he'll throw in some tzaddikim with Rishayim. But Hashem won't do that. So who was the actual ones that were saved? It's only the Bechor from the mother. Because that the Malach was under threat that the Malach would have killed. Hashem stopped him by way of this special mitzvah. Oh, now you want a mitzvah to commemorate. You want to thank Hashem for saving us. Which were the ones that Hashem supposedly acquired by saving us from the Malach HaMavis? Only the Bechor from the mother. That's why the mitzvah today, Hashem said, is only... The Bechor, very, very
sure. Appropriate. Shekayach.